like to talk to us this morning about powerless expectations. Powerless expectations. And driving down the road, many times we'll see signs that say something like, do not enter, or dead end. And unless you're familiar with what's down that street, just because it says do not enter, sometimes that means that's the exit for something. And sometimes do not enter means you're not authorized to go in there. But there's always a mystery, like, I wonder what's in there. When it says dead end, sometimes we can see the end of the street. Just maybe it goes down there past one or two houses, and we can see that the street just stops. The blacktop quits. There's a curb at the end. And sometimes it says dead end, and it might go several miles back in there, but there's no way out except to turn around and come back out. I was thinking this about the service today, and what can I say to help us today to get be better equipped for life and the things that we face. I was thinking about expectations. The definition says, the act of expecting or looking forward to a future event with at least some reason to believe the event will happen. You got some reason to believe that it'll happen. We have some reason to believe that there's others that want to be saved. There's a element there that we could look forward to, and we want to keep our courage up. We want to be able to keep our ability to share the gospel. We want to keep it up. We want to be compassionate to others, and we want others to see a better life. Something that they can attain to. Expectation is founded in some reasons that render the event probably a probability. In other words, there is expectation is based on some level of probability. It's not just a belief, but there's a probability that it could happen. I believe that God's power and Christ is the same today as he was in the days of Peter. I believe he can save people today. He can deliver them from their bondage, from their habits, from their sins today, just like he could when Jesus walked this earth. I believe that. So the probability is there. I believe that, this is still part of the definition, expectation is directed to good or evil. You know, there are those that expect or have some expectation of consequences for their actions. And many times they have good reason to believe that it's going to happen. There's a good probability that it's going to happen. So, I'm thinking about three types of expectations. I'm thinking about the overseer expectation, the personal expectation, and God's expectation. An overseer's expectation. You know, parents have expectations for children. Grandparents have expectations for children. I have expectations for this little guy that's here this morning. You do too, probably. You have some, there's some probability involved and there's some hope involved. But you know, we're pretty powerless in that as a parent. I realize how powerless I am the older I get. My expectation, the probability, yes, there's some hope. But my expectation is really powerless. Sometimes it's an older sibling. Some of you may have come from a family that you've got a, maybe you're older or the younger one, and you have a sibling that's young enough to be your child or old enough to be your parent. And you know, sometimes in those situations, the older sibling has expectations for the younger sibling, expecting them to have some potential that and develop into something that's maybe they felt like they were denied. But it's by and large powerless. What can we do to ensure that? I'm talking about overseer, I call this overseer expectation. And I'm telling you this morning that it's pretty powerless. I can't make it happen. I want it to happen. I can put everything in place to make the probabilities increase. And I can hope, but I can't ensure that it'll happen. I think about the teachers. You know, I had a teacher when I was in probably the fifth and sixth grade that I remember her telling us at the beginning of the year that she was starting to feel old because there were some in the class that were the grandchildren of her first students. So she'd been teaching a number of years. I don't know, maybe 40 years. She was a gray-headed lady, and she taught us math, and she's the one that made sure I learned my multiplication tables, and she was kind of an austere person, but anyway, she had some expectations. You know, I'm sure that there were some of those that were the grandchildren of her first students that she had expectations for that might have not been positive. She might have remembered how rowdy that the grandparent was when they were in her class. And now here's another two generations later and her expectation. I don't know if they were realized or not. I'm just bringing out the point that teachers, whether it's a Sunday school teacher or a teacher at in our school systems, they can have expectations, but they're pretty powerless. They can look on and say you come from a good family or a bad family. They can look on and say that you're I knew both of your parents, and both of your parents were really sharp when they were in school, and they really applied themselves. But that doesn't mean this one's going to. Sunday school teachers, you can say, this child has got it. They've got a good start. They got a mama and a daddy that I know love the Lord, and they lived for God when they were young, and now here's this little child coming along, and surely it'll choose the right thing too. But I'm going to tell you, teachers with expectations is pretty powerless. Teachers with expectations is powerless. Supervisors on the job, maybe a journeyman, someone that's worked in a field for a long period of time, sees a younger person come on, and they can have expectations. They can have expectations about how their job is going to turn out and how their career is going to end or be fulfilled or all of that, but they're just an observer. They can have expectations, but they're very, very powerless in all of this. And the last one I want to talk about as an overseer's expectation is a pastor. A pastor's expectations. Hope. Probabilities. All of those things are like loose cannonballs running around in their mind. How's this going to turn out? Powerless expectations. I wonder sometimes why the Lord takes some people. Why He takes parents. Why He takes Sunday school teachers. Why He takes pastors. And I wonder sometimes if it's because of brokenness, of powerless expectations, expecting and hoping, and it becomes so heavy that their hearts are crushed. Parents, you know, we've heard of people that died of broken hearts. Parents can have expectations, have their hopes so high, and yet they're powerless when it comes to making it happen. They can put everything in place. As the saying is, you can lead a horse to water, but you can't make them drink. You can present the best spread of natural food or spiritual food, but unless somebody chooses to partake of it, the anticipation of growth and the anticipation of them being able to grow and the potential and the expectations will never be realized, and you can't make it happen. It's a powerless expectation. We can have personal expectations that's powerless. Personal expectations of thinking that surely this is going to work out. Maybe we have time and experience. Maybe we have an expectation for self-image or our reputation. I'd like to turn to James, the fourth chapter, and read a couple verses here. Personal expectations. You ever had any expectations about what the day was going to hold or what you were going to get done in a week? I've had some of those. I've thought, you know, surely by next fall, I can have this accomplished. But I'm really powerless a lot of times. Because one thing and something else comes along that seems to be more important. I've got some of those in my barn. Expectations. Things I thought I was going to do in the years past. And because things come along that I was willing to deem more important, they haven't been realized. James 4, verse 13, I believe is what I want to read. He says, "Go to now, ye that say, today or tomorrow we will go into such a city and continue there, a year and buy and sell and get gain. That's an expectation, isn't it? There's an expectation that your efforts will be profitable and that you would be able to make some gain, some monetary gains, what he's talking about. He says, whereas you know not what shall be on the morrow. We don't know what tomorrow's going to hold. You know, I talked to Brother Philip Monday night, and he said to me, we were talking about something, we had an expectation, and we said, before I got off the phone, I said, well, just drive on up, y'all can spend the night with us. And he said, well, let me sleep on it a night or two, and we might just take a trip and come up there. But we didn't know what the next day was going to hold. It was a powerless expectation. He says, we don't know here what shall be on the morrow, for what is your life? It is even a vapor that appeareth for a little time and then vanisheth away. For that ye ought to say, if the Lord will, we shall live and do this or that. Lord, if you're willing, if you give me the power, if you give me the strength, I'll be faithful. If you're willing and you give me the talents and the ability, I'm making commitments to give back to the work of the Lord. I'm making commitments to provide for my family, to finish a project or accomplish something. But sometimes we have these expectations and we allow ourselves to just build air castles out of expectations, and we're powerless to make them come around and come to fruition. You know, God has expectations. I listened to a message Brother Philip preached in Junction City. So on Church of God Preaching, I'd highly recommend that you listen to it. The title they put on it was Lay Hold and Endure Temptation. I was listening to it Friday morning as I was working and before we left to go down for his visitation. And I noticed how he said, he kept one of his main points in the message was that sometimes people get the perspective of, well, now I'm saved and I've got to read and pray. Well, it's so much more than that, was his point. There's so much more than that than just reading and praying. There's a relationship that we can have with the Lord. We can have a relationship with God that takes the necessity of reading and praying out. And we want to. We want to communicate. We want to learn. We want to study. We want to draw closer to Him. And that becomes life itself. You know, God has that expectation that we would want that relationship. Did you know it's powerless too? God's expectation that we would have a desire to have a relationship with Him and be close and in fellowship with Him, it's just as powerless as my expectation that my children will follow in the way that I've trained them. I can say, I crossed all of my T's, I dotted all of my I's. I've done everything that I knew to do. And I know many that have endeavored to be a parent like that. But it's really a powerless expectation unless the individual themselves has a desire for it. The Lord has an expectation. But I want you to realize how painful it is for God. He sent His only begotten Son that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. But it's a powerless expectation unless we act on it. Unless we have a sincere desire, it's not going to happen. And God's powerless to make you be saved. He wants you to be saved. The probability that you can be saved is it'll happen if you meet the conditions. But He's powerless to make you do it. He wants it. There's things I want. There's things I hope for. There's expectations I've had. And yet I realize that I'm powerless to make it happen. It's contingent on someone else wanting that. Powerless expectations we have them personally. We have them as overseers, and God has them too. God has feelings and wants a relationship that's genuine, that's real with mankind. I'd like to turn to Isaiah chapter 55 in the Old Testament here. Let's go to Isaiah chapter 55. And we'll begin reading in verse 5. He says here, behold, I think this is what I want. Maybe we'll start in verse 6. Seek ye the Lord while He may be found. This is not sounding right. Yes, it is. Seek ye the Lord while He may be found. Call ye upon Him while He is near. When is He near? When God is setting the expectation, when He is doing everything He can to increase the probability, when He is showering you with hope and He's expressing His hope in you, have you felt the Lord calling? Have you felt the Lord dealing with your heart? That's Him setting an expectation. That's Him wanting you to respond. It says, seek ye the Lord while He may be found. Call ye upon Him while He is near. Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts, and let him return unto the Lord, and He will have mercy upon him and to our God, for He will abundantly pardon. The probability of God having mercy is very high. He says, for my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. I don't know how to express this, but God loved us so much that He gave us the power to have control over His expectations. You heard what I said? God loved us so much that He gave us the ability to either respond or not respond. That ought to make us just feel so humble before Him. Lord, I want to be close to You. You've given everything that possibly could be given. I want to be close to you. You know, that's the expectation God has. But He's powerless to make you do it. He's powerful enough to equip you to do it, but He's powerless to make you do it. And He done that on purpose. I hope we understand the concept this morning. God loved us so much that He gave you the choice. You want to live for Him? He's got an expectation. He wants you to. He wants you to live for Him. He wants you to be victorious in your life. And He's got all power in heaven and earth to equip you to be able to be victorious and have that relationship with Him. But He won't make us do it. It's a powerless expectation. His thoughts. Why did He do it that way? His thoughts are higher than our thoughts. He knows that's the best way for people to love Him and to worship Him, because they want to. Because they have a desire, Lord, more than anything else. I want to have a relationship with You. I'm going to lay other things aside. I could go through and enumerate the things that I've laid aside and the things that I deemed as more important and have been willing to forfeit expectations in my life to gain other things. And I trust that you can look on your life and say, I've laid some stuff aside because I want to be pleasing to the Lord. I had expectations. You've had expectations that haven't been realized because something else was more important. Something else was more important than gratification, than fulfillment in some other area. And Lord, help us as we realize how powerless many times expectations are. I'd like to turn to Romans 11th chapter in closing. Let's go to Romans chapter 11. And notice what the Apostle Paul said here. We'll begin reading in verse 29. It says, for the gifts and calling of God are without repentance. For as ye in times past have not believed in God, yet have now obtained mercy through their unbelief. Even so have these also now not believed, that through your mercy they also may obtain mercy. He's talking about taking the gospel and passing it on to someone else. He said, for God hath concluded them all in unbelief, that He might have mercy upon all. God has mercy on every man, woman, and child. He says, oh, the depth of the riches, both of the wisdom and the knowledge of God, how unsearchable are His judgments and His ways past finding out. God has an expectation, and it's beyond my comprehension of why He would give it to His, set His expectation, and yet not try to coerce us into it. He wants us to do it. You know, I've used this illustration many times before, but I have a small group of calves at my house right now that's probably the most cooperative group I've ever had. And there's always seemed to be an outlier that is spooked just because I only have two legs and no tail. But these, I can walk out of the house and they start running towards the feed trough. And when I get the bucket and I get some grain in it, they are excited about coming to see me. And I've only been feeding them for just a few days, and they're just, oh, they're so eager to come and see me. And I have had this expectation with any other calves I've ever had, if I walk out with a sack of grain or a bucket of feed, that they would come to the feed trough. And these are the first ones. You know, I would have fed them all in the past. These are the first ones that have really met my expectations. I hope it keeps that way. But it's up to them. It's up to them. Right now it is. You know, it's up to us. And God has put himself in a place of having a row on the board, a powerless expectation. He's got an expectation of everyone in this town having a relationship with him. The scripture says he would that all men would be saved. He has that expectation. He's got a feed bucket. He's got an opportunity for us to be forgiven. But how many are coming? Right now, it's a powerless expectation. Right now, he's a God of mercy. His ways are past finding out. They're so far above mine that I don't hardly... There's so much at stake. Why are you letting it be so open-ended like this? It's a powerless expectation right now. But there's coming a day that it won't be. There's coming a day that the expectation is going to have a hard closing. And the hard closing is, if we've not availed ourselves of the probability and the hope up to that point, he's going to say, depart from me, I never knew you. The expectation for all of us here today that's really powerless unless you respond to the Spirit of God is that you would humble yourself and repent. That you would have a relationship with the Lord more than this feeling of obligation that I need to read my Bible and I need to say some prayers. But that you would communicate with the Lord and build that relationship and hunger and thirst after righteousness. And it's pretty powerless. You can reject it. You cannot come to the feed bunk if that's what you want. If that's what you decide. But there's coming a day that the expectation is, if you've rejected me, then I'm going to reject you. And the Lord's going to cast those that have rejected him and rejected this powerless expectation, they're going to be cast into outer darkness. And we have a song that has the phrase, oh, how sad. Oh, how sad to reject the powerless expectation that God has for us today and to go down through life and come to the end and realize that my opportunity to get right with God is not there anymore. That thing that seemed so powerless over me and couldn't cause me to do a thing is now my judge. The one that was going to save me is now going to be my judge. So I want us to think about that. I know we've all had disappointments. I know we've had expectations. And feel so powerless in making them come to fruition. I've been there. I know what I'm talking about. I feel the pain in my heart. of knowing that my expectations are not being realized. What about God? Don't you know His heart is hurting today because so many people are not turning to Him? One of these days, it'll be, oh, how sad. You pray for me.